All right, so part four of the English-Spanish sermon on Great Controversy, chapter 39, Time of Trouble, all about the Jacob's Time of Trouble. And again, hoping that Erica from Guatemala can help with this. I got to communicate with her soon. And but this is part four of seven, so we're making progress. And just praise be to God, and I really want to learn Spanish, so we're moving forward, let's just say, not getting close, but we're moving forward. So, Father in Heaven, please lead us and guide us, and fill us with your Holy Spirit to help us to stay connected to you. And again, we just pray that this can be a blessing, and we can give you glory. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So, part four. I just always like to start with a review of the initial Bible verse, which is Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. says, "At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book." So, again, the most difficult time that this earth has ever seen, but all of God's people will be delivered if my name is written in the book of life. So that means if we stay connected to Jesus, we will have to have that connection to live through this time of trouble. It'll be a very, very difficult time. So again, at that time shall Michael stand up, and Michael again is Jesus Christ, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Praise God. He stands for our children. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was. Ellen G. White says, sometimes you anticipate that things will be worse when they're really not going to be that bad. She says, this isn't one of those times. This is going to be far worse than we can ever imagine. So again, the time of trouble. The seven last plagues, which comes after the close of probation. Michael, the prince, stands up at the end of probation. And that's in the first part where they talk about he that is filthy, or let him be filthy still, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. That's the close of probation, which is Revelation 22:11. So anyway, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, and at the time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Daniel 12:1. In Spanish, en aquel tiempo se levantará Miguel, el gran príncipe que está por los hijos de tu pueblo, y será tiempo de angustia, cual nunca fue, y en aquel tiempo tú serán libertados todos los que se hallan escritos en el libro. Daniel, capítulo 12, versículo 1. We did leave out maybe eight words or so. I just stopped with time of trouble such as never was. The actual King James says it such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. We just kept it simple. Time of trouble such as never was. And just to review real quick, the first part of seven talks about the third angel's message closing. Mercy no longer pleads for the guilty inhabitants of the earth. And it then goes to talk about the angels doing their work and Jesus standing up, or Michael standing up and saying, it is done. All those that were faithful and loyal to the Ten Commandments received the seal of the living God. And Jesus makes this solemn announcement, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Revelation 22:11. The ushering in of the kingdom, the eternal kingdom of Jesus. Part two is Jacob's night of anguish. So he wrestles in prayer for deliverance from the hand of Esau. This is an example, a biblical example of what we'll be doing as we go through the end of time, wrestling in prayer, asking for God's forgiveness, repenting for what we've done, wiping the slate clean, allowing God to blot out our sins. So, Jacob's only hope was the mercy of God, and his only defense is prayer. And so we will be doing the same thing. So again, he finally came back home, and as he got closer to his home territory, he was given a message that his brother Esau was coming towards him at the head of a band of warriors, like 200 that were going to, at least apparently, were going to slaughter them. Part three. So he sends his family away in part three, and with deep humiliation, gets on his knees and starts praying, confesses his sin, gratefully acknowledges the mercy of God. Very, very humble. Deep humiliation in Spanish. Profunda humillación. Humillación. So profunda humillación. Humillación. Humillación.
Humillación. Humillación.
And you kind of have to roll your R's sometimes. It's like pero, pero, profunda, profunda.
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 So that's deep humiliation. It's profunda. Humillación. Humillación. Humillación.
Humillación.
So deep humiliation, everything is at stake. He's had this crisis in his life. I love this thought, though. Everything is at stake. So in Spanish, todo está en juego. Todo está en juego. Todo está en juego. Everything is at stake. So in the darkness and solitude, he continues praying and humbling himself. He's gone through, let's just say, hell and back regarding this deception that he played on his brother Esau to get the birthright, and he's been paying a big price since that time. So he wants to make sure that the slate is wiped clean. So this section three, he is wrestling, and the angel says, "Hey, I gotta go. Let me go, for the day breaketh." So the sun's coming up. And Jacob says, "No, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me." So it turns out he's wrestling with Jesus Christ. And it turns out that he would have been destroyed had this statement not been made with the proper preparation. So in section 4, just to jump ahead real quick, it says, "If Jacob hadn't previously repented of his sin in obtaining the birthright by fraud, God would not have heard his prayer and mercifully preserved his life." So yeah, he had to do the preparation by afflicting his soul and repenting. And he had a soft heart, surrendered to God as he was making this request. So it says here, Jacob's was the assurance of one who confesses his weakness and unworthiness, yet trusts the mercy of a covenant-keeping God. So, number 4, this is not a very long one, so it shouldn't take too long. And I've been practicing a little bit while I was working out at the gym, yay. Sometimes I go a full week or so without going to the gym. Start falling apart. I went yesterday and today, so it's been a good weekend. Thank God for holidays, right? More than that, thank God for just times to slow down and get sleep, rest, exercise. So this is actually from a previous part, but I made a mistake. I didn't see there was a suggestion for a similar word for humillación, but it's humillación with the accent over the O.
Humillación.
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 Okay, thanks. So this is only mainly going to be useful if you're actually reading this while you're listening, but let's listen to it in Spanish just one time.
Ellos afligen sus almas ante Dios, señalando su pasado arrepentimiento de sus muchos pecados y suplicando la promesa del Salvador. Echa mano de mi fuerza para hacer la paz conmigo. Y hará la paz conmigo. Isaías 27:5. Su fe no falla porque sus oraciones no sean respondidas inmediatamente. Aunque sufren la más aguda ansiedad, terror y angustia, no cesan en sus intercesiones. Se aferran a la fuerza de Dios como Jacob se apoderó del ángel, y el lenguaje de sus almas es: "No te dejaré ir, a menos que me bendigas". Si Jacob no se hubiera arrepentido previamente de su pecado al obtener la primogenitura mediante fraude, Dios no habría escuchado su oración y preservado misericordiosamente su vida. Así que, en el tiempo de angustia, si el pueblo de Dios tuviera pecados no confesados para presentarse ante ellos mientras es torturado por el miedo y la angustia, serían abrumados. La desesperación cortaría su fe, y no podrían tener confianza para rogar a Dios por liberación. Pero si bien tienen un profundo sentido de su indignidad, no tienen errores ocultos que revelar. Sus pecados han ido de antemano a juicio y han sido borrados, y no pueden recordarlos.
That was kind of loud. Probably decrease the volume a little bit. All right, so let's go ahead and read through the whole thing, and then we'll split it up into threes. Actually, I may just divide it into two parts. That's mainly two sections that we have here. So to read it in English, so this is again part 4 of 7. So that they afflict their souls before God, pointing to their past repentance of their many sins and pleading the Savior's promise. This is Isaiah 27, verse 5. Let him take hold of my strength. So let me put my name in there. You can put your name in there. Let Bob take hold of my strength. This is God talking. Let Bob take hold of my strength. My is capital M. So God's strength. That he may make peace with me. So this is God talking. So that Bob may make, so that Bob may make peace with me. And Bob shall make peace with me. That's beautiful. You put your own name in there. Isaiah 25:7. This is one of God's promises to us, if we just hold on to him. So, again, let me read it real quick. So they afflict their souls before God, which means that's what the Israelites did on the Day of Atonement. So we just get on our knees and ask God to show us where we're doing things wrong, where we're sinning, where we're hurting people, and tell him we're sorry, and ask him to help us to change so that we can show people the love of Jesus Christ. So they afflict their souls before God, pointing to their past repentance of their many sins and pleading the Savior's promise. In quotes, let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. Isaiah 25, verse 7. So chapter 25, verse... Isaiah chapter 27, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 27, verse 5. Their faith does not fail because their prayers are not immediately answered. Though suffering the keenest anxiety, terror, and distress... Again, this is describing Jacob's time of trouble. So, though suffering the keenest anxiety... terror and distress, they do not cease their intercessions. They lay hold of the strength of God as Jacob laid hold of the angel, and the language of their souls is, in quotes, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Okay, we're going to come back and do that section real in a second. I'm just going to read the second section, second part of this section four real quick. Had not Jacob previously repented of his sin in obtaining the birthright by fraud, God would not have heard his prayer and mercifully preserved his life. So in the time of trouble, if the people of God had unconfessed sins to appear before them while tortured with fear and anguish, they would be overwhelmed. Despair would cut off their faith, and they could not have confidence to plead with God for deliverance. But while they have a deep sense of their unworthiness, they have no concealed wrongs to reveal. Their sins have gone beforehand to judgment and have been blotted out. That's beautiful. Their sins have gone beforehand to judgment and have been blotted out, and they cannot bring them to remembrance. We can't remember the stuff we've done wrong. Isn't that beautiful? All right, so again, we're going to focus on the first part of this section four. So again, they afflict their souls before God, pointing to the past repentance. Isaiah 27:5, let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. Their faith does not fail because their prayer is not answered immediately. They suffer huge anxiety, terror, and distress, but they do not stop praying. They keep praying. They lay hold of the strength of God as Jacob laid hold of the angel in their languages. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. So in Spanish, they afflict their souls before God. Ellos afligen sus almas ante Dios, señalando su pasado arrepentimiento. Arrepentimiento. I have to look that one up. It looks like arrepentimiento. Arrepentimiento. Arrepenti, arrepenti, arrepentimiento, arrepentimiento, arrepentimiento. De sus muchos pecados y suplicando la promesa del Salvador. Echa mano de mi fuerza para hacer la paz conmigo y hará la paz conmigo. Isaías, I have to see how they say that. Isaías, capítulo 27, versículo 5. Let's take a listen. So just to isolate that word for a second, it's are with a little roll of the tongue. Are, are, arrepentimiento, arrepentimiento.
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 Are, arrepentimiento.
Arrepentimiento.
It means repentance, repentance. Are, arrepentimiento. All right, so this is the first part we just went through.
Dios aflige en sus almas ante Dios, señalando su pasado arrepentimiento de sus muchos pecados y suplicando la promesa del Salvador, echa mano de mi fuerza para hacer la paz conmigo. Y hará la paz conmigo. Isaías 27 en 5.
Media. So it's inmediatamente. Inmediatamente.
Inmediatamente.
Inmediatamente.
Inmediatamente.
Oh.
Inmediatamente.
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 Okay.
So, respondidas inmediatamente, aunque sufren la más aguda ansiedad, terror y angustia, no cesan en sus intercesiones, se aferran a la fuerza de Dios como Jacob se apoderó del ángel. So, apoderó.
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 Means seized, like to seize a ship. Here it's talking about when Jacob laid hold of the angel. So, apoderó del ángel. Y el lenguaje de sus amas es. So, no te dejaré ir a menos que me bendigas. So, que me bendigas. So, again, su fe no falla porque tus oraciones. So, su fe no falla porque tus oraciones no sean respondidas inmediatamente. Aunque sufren la más aguda ansiedad, terror y angustia, no cesan en sus intercesiones, se aferran a la fuerza de Dios como Jacob se.
Inmediatamente. Apoderó.
Again, seized. So, su aferran a la fuerza. Aferran. So, se aferran a la fuerza. De Dios como Jacob se apoderó del ángel y el lenguaje de sus amas es no te dejaré ir a menos que me bendigas. So yeah, a menos que me bendigas. All right, so again, that's the first part, where it talks about they afflict their souls, pointing to the past repentance, many sins. The Bible verse, Isaiah 27, let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. Their faith does not fail because their prayer is not answered immediately. They're in high anxiety, terror, and distress. They continue to pray. They lay hold of the strength of God as Jacob laid hold of the angel, and their statement is, we will not let go except thou bless us, please. All right, so second part, again, just states that if Jacob hadn't repented previously of his sin and obtaining the birthright by fraud with his brother Esau, God would not have heard his prayer, so he had to have repented previously, otherwise he would have lost his life here as he wrestled. And again, his only hope was in the mercy of God, and his only defense was prayer. So, same as us. So, in the time of Jacob's trouble, which is the second time of trouble, the one right before the second coming, we need to be prepared. This will be the most difficult time of our entire lives, the most difficult time ever on this earth, if we're still alive at that time. But God will get us through. That's why I love that original verse in Daniel 12:1. It says that this will be a time of trouble such as never was. Tiempo de angustia, time of trouble. But at that time, all of thy people shall be delivered, all of them that are found written in the book of life. So we just have to make sure our names are in that book, have a relationship with Jesus. So to finish part four, so Jacob had to have previously repented. The same thing with us. We have to have previously repented, which is right now. Otherwise, despair is going to cut off our faith as we become overwhelmed with fear and anxiety and anguish. So we have to have our slate wiped clean. We have to have that to have confidence in our God. But while they have a deep sense of their unworthiness, if we have prepared, we have no concealed wrongs to reveal. Our sins have gone beforehand to judgment and have been blotted out. I think that's so beautiful. God blots out our sins like white out. And we cannot remember what they were. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? One of my favorite texts, even though it's not a very lovely text, but it's something that applies to my life. And I love dogs, but man, I've seen dogs eat anything, even poop. So, but this one is Proverbs 26:11. It says, "As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly." And I've definitely had issues in my life, addictions, etc., that I keep returning to over and over and over again, even though I know it's not the best thing for me. To be transparent, just sexual addiction, pornography, stuff like that. So it's sometimes a very slippery slope. But just the analogy to me hits hard. Yeah, as a dog returneth to his vomit. So you know, it's almost like, you know, it's not good for you, but you go back over and over and over again. But when you finally get that victory, when you finally are able to conquer only with the power of God and His presence in our lives, what a feeling that is, what to have that power over previous addictions. And to know that in the end, the slate is wiped clean, and we can't even remember. To me, that's amazing. Really, I can't even remember all that crap that I used to do and just stupid things I did. I don't even remember that anymore. That's amazing. So that's a nice form of dementia, right? It's like a spiritual induced dementia for sin, which will be so nice. Anyway, on the downside, dementia, the medical disorder is on the rise, last I checked. So keep yourselves healthy, eat good food, exercise, get enough sleep, and keep your blood pressure, your cholesterol down, keep them controlled. All right, so we kind of went through the English part. Let's go through the Spanish part, second part of section 4 of the Time of Trouble, chapter 39, Great Controversy. So this whole chapter is just about this section at the end of time. Isn't that amazing? So the Time of Trouble. And again, I'm going to make up a little poster of the different events at the end of time, but this is really close to the very end, before the second coming of Jesus. Just as a review for those that may not know, right now we are in the time of the end since 1798, according to many, that's the belief. 1798, there was what they call the deadly wound to the beast, the first beast of Revelation 13, which many believe is the Church of Rome. And the deadly wound was when Berthier, which was the general of Napoleon, took Pope, I think it was Pius VI, captive. You can look this up online, Google it. But 1798, or right around there, the Pope was taken captive, put in jail. I think he died in jail. So before that, you know, the Church of Rome had great power through most of the Middle Ages, like from the 500s all the way through to the 1700s. So it was about 1,200 years. And but with the capturing of the Pope and putting him in jail, when the Church never was formally disbanded, but they haven't regained the strength that they had back in the Middle Ages. They actually had military strength, but there is a belief that they will regain this military strength over time. Anyway, I spent a lot of time on that one date, 1798. But since that 1798 date, we have been in the time of the end. I won't go into too much detail, but right now we're waiting for what they call the midnight cry, which is from a parable in Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. The 10 virgins represents God's true church at the end of time. There's 10 virgins, 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. The 5 wise ones prepare, and they have the spirit or the oil in their lamps, which is the spirit of Christ, the spirit of God. The foolish ones do not prepare, and even though they know the truth, they are found wanting and will not be saved at the end of time. But it's the midnight cry that announces that the groom is here, and that's Jesus. And so we're waiting for the midnight cry right now. Make this quick from here on out. Norman McNulty has some really good videos where he makes an analogy between the midnight cry and the loud cry. So midnight cry is Matthew chapter 25 in that parable I just stated. The loud cry is Revelation 18. And that's a beautiful chapter, Revelation 18, but it talks about the whole earth being lightened with the glory of God in verse 1. And this mighty angel crying with a loud voice, Babylon the great has fallen. In verse 3, all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of fornication. So all nations pretty much have worked with this one kingdom in deceiving the people of the earth, cheating, etc. Another voice in verse 4, come out for my people, and that's the main message at the end of time, is please learn the truth and make sure you're keeping God's law, not man's law, following the truth and teachings of the Bible, and not the truth and teachings of men. When they say you need to look in the Bible and find, thus saith the Lord, that means just find out what the Bible says. There's many things that churches profess and rules that they follow that aren't in the Bible. And verse 5 is a huge verse. So chapter 8, verse 18, verse 5, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. So when do the sins of Babylon reach unto heaven? Ellen G. White, who's written a lot of books on these topics, says that the sins of Babylon have reached unto heaven when the law of God is finally made void with legislation. So that means there's going to be a law that comes out which violates God's law. And we all know that God has many laws in the Bible, right? But the 10 that stand out are the 10 commandments. And they call that the moral law, which will be eternal. It's never going to be changed, which makes sense. You know, we don't want to steal. We don't want to kill. We want to give God honor, etc. But one big sort of trick that the devil's played on the world is changing the fourth commandment, which was in the Old Testament, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Holy 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and thou shalt not do any work. But so it's a day of rest where we come and commune with God. But it's the seventh day Sabbath, it's Saturday, whereas most of the world, or much of the world, celebrates Sunday, which is not biblical. There's no remember the Sabbath day, you know, 6 days shalt thou labor, but the first day of the week is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. There's no Bible verse in the whole Bible where you find anything like that. But again, it's built on tradition. And again, it goes back to the Church of Rome as well. So, again, I'm digressing. Probably shouldn't start this little side note. But anyway, when that Sunday law comes out, that's the midnight cry. So that's when the announcement is made. We transition into the end of time. Even though we're in the time of the end, that's going to be the end of time. So it's going to be a little bit fearful, but very exciting for people that understand prophecy and know that they're getting close to the second coming of Jesus. After the midnight cry, which again is the Sunday law, which is going to have four stages and then mandate that you need to go to church only on Sunday, not on any other day of the week. There will be punishment for that. But then right after that, there's going to be the outpouring of the latter rain, which just like the former rain, which was Pentecost, back in the time of the disciples, where they healed and did miracles and spoke in tongues and all these amazing things. They said the second outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the latter rain, is going to be much bigger. So we're going to see lots of miracles, etc. I'm hoping not to have a pain clinic anymore. All my patients will be healed miraculously, praise God. Maybe not all of them, but maybe. Who knows? God knows. But you'll also have a little time of trouble, or at least a time of trouble during that time as well, where there will be persecution again. Because remember, when this law is passed, the Sunday law, that means there's going to be a new world order. And again, the new world order refers to two big kingdoms in Revelation chapter 13, the sea beast and the land beast. Many believe the sea beast is the Church of Rome as it came out of the old world, and then the land beast would be the United States of America as it came out of the New World. You know, as again, the water in the Bible often represents multitudes of peoples. So multitudes of peoples would be Europe, where there's been many, many people, millions for you know, centuries. Whereas the United States of America came out of a sparsely populated area in North America. The other thing that kind of speaks to, well, it would go too deep, but just real quick, the sea beast has the animal characteristics that come from Daniel of all four of the kingdoms that came before it, and that is the kingdom of Babylon, which was the lion, the kingdom of Medo-Persia, which was the bear, the kingdom of Greece, which was the leopard. And so those all, as you can see in Revelation 13, pieces of that entity. And again, Church or Rome was the fourth of the four kingdoms in Daniel chapter 2, the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. The Church of Rome came out of the kingdom of Rome, Imperial Rome. And then the land beast is described as a lamb with two horns, looking as like a lamb but speaking as a dragon. So again, seems to fit the United States to some degree, you know, established on Christian ethics, etc. But get into a place where we're dominating the world and lots of, let's just say, maybe dishonest practices going on behind the scenes. Anyway, so that kind of paints the picture. After the latter rains poured out, the time of trouble, you're going to have the Sunday law going on, persecution. That's all going to end with Michael standing up and close of probation when he stands up and makes that statement of Revelation 22:11, and then we transition into the end of the very end of time. No more martyrs at that time for the Christians, even though they're going to go through a very difficult time. You're going to have the outpouring of the seven last plagues. After the seven last plagues are poured out on the wrongdoers on earth, God's people will be protected from those seven last plagues. Then Jesus returns and takes his children, those that believe in him, home for eternity. And there's more to say after that, but that's sort of an overview. Thanks. All right, so anyway, getting back to part four. So a lot of this is good for me to go through because it helps me to try to make it more succinct next time. That wasn't very succinct. Anyway, I'm going to try to do a little poster on those different stages that, because it's exciting, you know, we're actually living in the time of the end. We're getting close to the end of time, I believe, again, to this midnight cry when the Sunday law is announced, and it's going to be throughout the whole world. So let's read the end of section four here. We just did it in English. Had not Jacob previously repented of his sin, blah, 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 blah. So si Jacob no se hubiera arrepentido. Arrepentido. I never have the emphasis right. Arrepentido. Arrepentido.
Arrepentido.
Arrepentido.
Arrepentido.
Arrepentido.
Arrepentido.
Arrepentido. So with me, repetition is good. Arrepentido. So previamente. Previamente.
Previamente.
Previamente.
Previamente.
De su pecado al detener la primo. Genitor. So it's obtener, obtener, obtener.
Obtener.
So primo genitura, primo genitura.
Primo genitura.
And that means, all right, so the definition for that is the state of being a firstborn. So it's similar to what the Bible says is the birthright. So firstborn is the birthright, gets the birthright. So that's primo primogenitura. So primogenitura mediante fraude. Dios no habría escuchado su oración y preservado. So misericordiosamente.
Misericordiosamente.
And it's su vida. Misericordiosamente means graciously. Su vida. So again, this is graciously or mercifully preserved his life. Así que en el tiempo de angustia, so in the time of trouble, si el pueblo de Dios, the people of God, tuviera pecados no confesados para presentarse ante ellos mientras es torturado. Torturado.
Torturado.
Torturado.
Torturado.
Torturado.
Torturado.
Torturado. That means tortured. Torturado. Por el miedo y la angustia serían abrumados. So I have to follow the accent. Serían.
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 Okay. Abrumados. Abrumados. Abrumados.
Abrumados.
That means overwhelmed. So la desesperación con cortaría, cortaría, cortaría. Yeah, cortaría, cortaría.
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 All right. Sufre. Y no podrían tener confianza para rogar a Dios por liberación. Pero si bien tienen un profundo sentido de su indignidad, no tienen errores ocultos que
revelar.
And that means reveal. Sus pecados han ido de antemano a juicio. Sorry, there's an extra I in there. Juicio. Y han sido borrados y no pueden recordarlos. So recordarlos. It's a lot of R's.
Recordarlos.
I'll have to practice that one.
Recordarlos.
All right, so that's kind of it for this part. I'll just play it. I'll read it in English and play it in Spanish one more time. So again, part four, section four. They afflict their souls before God, pointing to their past repentance of their many sins and pleading the Savior's promise. Let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me, Isaiah 27:5. Again, as they afflict their souls before God, pointing to their past repentance of their many sins, they plead the Savior's promise. Yeah, so if we take hold of his strength, we will have peace with him. Their faith does not fail because their prayers are not immediately answered. So don't expect an immediate answer to prayer. Though suffering the keenest anxiety, terror and distress, so big time anxiety, terror and distress, they do not cease their praying or intercessions. They lay hold of the strength of God, as Jacob laid hold of the angel. So again, keep praying and grabbing that strength. And the language of their souls is, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Had not Jacob previously repented of his sin, that's huge, that we need to repent right now. In obtaining the birthright by fraud, God would not have heard his prayer and mercifully preserved his life. So in the time of trouble, if the people of God had unconfessed sins to appear before them while tortured with fear and anguish, they would be overwhelmed if we haven't done our preparation. If we still have sins that are unconfessed. So sometimes we don't even know when we're hurting other people. We don't even know what sins we're doing. We need to ask God to show us. Despair would cut off our faith, and that we could not have confidence to plead with God for deliverance. But while they have a deep sense of their unworthiness, they have no concealed wrongs to reveal. Their sins have gone beforehand to judgment, have been blotted out, and they cannot bring them to remembrance. Amen. One last thing I'll say here is that just like many others have said, that even in other churches, that no church is perfect. Even God's church at the end of time, which keep his commandments, is described as being lukewarm, you know. And what do they say? Blind, wretched, poor, blind, naked, that sort of thing. But we all have a chance to make it right. And again, the template is the Bible. The template is Jesus Christ. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it's amazing. We can't really wrap our minds around it entirely, but it's almost like Jesus and the Bible are one. He is throughout the whole Bible. He is the Word. So if we read every day, we stay connected to him, and we stay connected in prayer as well. The other thing that I said to one of my classes at Antioch Seventh Adventist Church, when we teach our study class, and again, I said this in humility, but even if I didn't make it to heaven, because I think, it's good to be humble in that regard. We can't be presumptuous and just know that we're guaranteed we're going to be there. And again, that verse I had, what was it, Proverbs 26:11. Talks about a dog returning to his vomit. I mean, I've done so many crazy things and done so much sin in the past. There's no guarantee. But my statement to this class was, even if I did not make it, the walk with God, the walk with Jesus is worth it all. I would do it anyway. There's no other way for me, because I need to do the right thing. I need to show my statement of thanks to God and to Jesus for all that they've done. Again, Jesus dying on the cross. I've had some say to me that it was no big deal. He died on the cross because he was resurrected, so he knew he was going to live again. But that goes pretty deep. We don't have time to talk about whether he really knew that. But the other thing is, don't say that until you've gone, until you've walked that path. I mean, for anybody to go through what he did, 40 lashings by the Romans with whatever, tearing his skin off and walking up a hill with a cross on your back and then being nailed to a cross, spit on, etc. Yeah, if you've gone through that, then you can maybe say, or something like that, maybe. And I'm not telling people to do that, but I'm just saying, have respect for people that give their life and that give their everything. Don't downplay it. And the biggest thing is, I have two daughters, which I love more than anyone on this earth, you know, right after God. I would rather die myself than to watch one of them go through any kind of hurt that would even come close to that. So for God the Father to watch his son go through that, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I mean, my heart would be crushed. There's no words. I mean, I would run down from heaven and, you know, get my kid off the cross and get on there myself. I mean, I just couldn't go through it. I would die. I mean, it would be crazy. I don't know how he did it. But anyway, you know, the walk would be worth it all just to say thanks for the amazing love that God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit have showed humanity, have showed me, have showed humanity, all of us, all of you, in what they did so that we can live again if we just give up the sin and we hold tight to his love and his commandments. Which give us freedom, which give us a true peace. And we can be, and the icing on the cake is we can be with him forever. If we can do it, but even if we can't do it, you know, just to walk with him and to get to know him is amazing. But I do plan on being there. And just to jump ahead real quick, one last thing before we finish, just brought to my mind. If you guys like looking ahead, and you know, I always think of the Da Vinci Code, you know, some of these terms and words make it, you know, sort of fascinate us and stimulate our imagination. But you got to look at The Great Controversy, Chapter 42. Just Google it, Great Controversy, Ellen White, Chapter 42. It's called The Controversy Ended. It's the last chapter in this book. And go to, I'll tell you what paragraph to go to, but it's amazing, especially for those that like sort of action. There's a lot of action. This is at the very end of time. And it's all about the New Jerusalem and Satan marshaling up his army for the last attack at the New Jerusalem, and it's just amazing. But so look down at paragraph 8. It starts with, "Now Christ again appears in the view of his enemies. Far above the city, upon a foundation of burnished gold, is a throne high and lifted up." So he's above the city, like up in the sky, sitting on the throne of gold, all right? So pretty amazing. All right, and he's surrounded by all of his subjects of his kingdom. The power and majesty of Christ no language can describe. So this is like more amazing than anything we've ever seen. You can't even write down or describe it. The glory of the eternal Father is enshrouding his Son. The brightness of the presence, Christ's presence, fills the city of God and flows out beyond the gates, flooding the whole entire earth. But what I'm really getting to is the next paragraph, so that'd be paragraph 9. This has the layers of the people surrounding Jesus. Now, this is my take on this, but it seems pretty self-explanatory. So three different layers. I just want to be in 144,000, which I believe is layer 3. I mean, just, right? But anyway, these are the three layers. So nearest the throne are those who were once zealous for the cause of Satan. So these are Satan-like, Satanists. But they turned it around, plucked his brands from the burning, have followed their Savior with deep, intense devotion. So they went from, like, Z to A. I mean, it was like, boom, extreme to extreme. So that's layer one, surrounding their God, Jesus, on the throne of gold. Next, so layer two are those who perfected Christian characters in the midst of falsehood and infidelity, who those who honored the law of God when the Christian world declared it void. So those might be like a lot of the people during the Middle Ages, you know, when there was persecution, and maybe even at the end of time when there's persecution again, that stand up for the truth. And then also in that layer two, and the millions of all ages who were martyred, so all the martyrs, so those who perfected Christian characters in the midst of falsehood and infidelity, and all the martyrs, I'm going to be in layer two. And then layer three and beyond is the great multitude, which is from Revelation 7, verse 9, so chapter 7, verse 9, and this, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, no man could number, and this is all about the 144,000. So, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And that's exactly what they say here, too. So the great multitude, no man can number, all nations, kindreds, peoples, and tongues, thrown before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Revelation 7, 9. So again, that's the belief is the 144,000 could just be a symbolic number. It's going to be actually a huge number that you can't even count, like this says here. And it's going to be the people that are alive when Jesus returns to this earth. So that we have a chance. That could happen in the next 10 years or so, 15, 20 years. And so if we can stay healthy and stay alive that long, we might be in that group. Wouldn't that be amazing to be in whatever layer, just to be in heaven? But can you imagine being right around Jesus, layers 1, 2, or 3? Layer 3 would be fine with me, 144,000, man. Praise God. Whatever his plan is amazing for each one of us. We just say stay close to him, and it'll be good. I won't be disappointed if I'm not in the third layer, but if we can be close to Jesus, that would be amazing. So praise God. All right, so let's listen to it in Spanish, and then we'll close it out. I'm just going to give a little benediction here. So Dios te bendiga means go with God. God go with you. Muchas, muchas gracias. Much thanks. And Dios es bueno. God is good. And again, help me keep learning Spanish and help Erica keep learning English and help us be able to work together on this. El cielo del idioma español. So Spanish is the language of heaven. Heaven's language is Spanish. Español. El cielo del idioma español.
El cielo del idioma español. El cielo del idioma español. El cielo del idioma español.
El cielo del idioma. El cielo del idioma español.
El cielo del idioma español.
Idioma. Idioma.
Idioma.
It means language.
Idioma. Idioma.
All right, so in Spanish, a couple more times.
Ellos afligen sus almas ante Dios, señalando su pasado arrepentimiento de sus muchos pecados y suplicando la promesa del Salvador, echa mano de mi fuerza para hacer la paz conmigo. Y hará la paz conmigo. Isaías 27:5. Su fe no falla porque sus oraciones no sean respondidas inmediatamente. Aunque sufren la más aguda ansiedad, terror y angustia, no cesan en sus intercesiones. Se aferran a la fuerza de Dios como Jacob se apoderó del ángel, y el lenguaje de sus almas es, «No te dejaré ir, a menos que me bendigas». Si Jacob no se hubiera arrepentido previamente de su pecado al obtener la primogenitura mediante fraude, Dios no habría escuchado su oración y preservado misericordiosamente su vida. Así que, en el tiempo de angustia, si el pueblo de Dios tuviera pecados no confesados para presentarse ante ellos mientras es torturado por el miedo y la angustia, serían abrumados. La desesperación cortaría su fe, y no podrían tener confianza para rogar a Dios por liberación. Pero si bien tienen un profundo sentido de su indignidad, no tienen errores ocultos que revelar. Sus pecados han ido de antemano a juicio y han sido borrados, y no pueden recordarlos.
So two words on this one, señalando, señalando, and inmediatamente means immediately, and señalando means pointing out.
Señalando.
Ellos afligen sus almas ante Dios, señalando su pasado arrepentimiento de sus muchos pecados y suplicando la promesa del Salvador, echa mano de mi fuerza para hacer la paz conmigo. Y hará la paz conmigo. Isaías 27:5. Su fe no falla porque sus oraciones no sean respondidas inmediatamente. Aunque sufren la más aguda ansiedad, terror y angustia, no cesan en sus intercesiones. Ellos afligen sus almas ante Dios, señalando su pasado arrepentimiento de sus muchos pecados y suplicando la promesa del Salvador, echa mano de mi fuerza para hacer la paz conmigo. Y hará la paz conmigo. Isaías capítulo 27, versículo 5. Su fe no falla porque sus oraciones no sean respondidas inmediatamente. Aunque sufren la más aguda ansiedad, terror y angustia, no cesan en sus intercesiones. Se aferran a la fuerza de Dios como Jacob se apoderó del ángel, y el lenguaje de sus almas es, «No te dejaré ir, a menos que me bendigas». Si Jacob no se hubiera arrepentido previamente de su pecado al obtener la primogenitura mediante fraude, Dios no habría escuchado su oración y preservado misericordiosamente su vida. Así que, en el tiempo de angustia, si el pueblo de Dios tuviera pecados no confesados para presentarse ante ellos mientras es torturado por el miedo y la angustia, serían abrumados. La desesperación cortaría su fe, y no podrían tener confianza para rogar a Dios por liberación. Pero si bien tienen un profundo sentido de su indignidad, no tienen errores ocultos que revelar. Sus pecados han ido de antemano a juicio y han sido borrados, y no pueden recordarlos.
The last thing I'll say is I never want to hurt anybody's feelings as we go through some of this study, but it's bound to occur. But I'm just hoping that people know that we all want to learn together in the love and spirit of Jesus Christ. So, and then we had one speaker again, Norman McNulty. He's got some great videos online. If you Google Norman McNulty in Lexington, he's got a 5-part series that came out of church in Lexington, Kentucky, which I think are some of the best I've heard about the end of time. One is the prophetic catalyst. One is the sleeping at midnight, which is, I think that's my favorite. But anyway, so he talks about we have to have the spirit of Jesus, not the spirit of the beast. So as we go and teach and learn together, it has to be the spirit of Jesus. So we shouldn't get too upset. We shouldn't start pointing fingers. We shouldn't start judging. But we need to find out the truth. We need to make sure that we're following the right what God recommends, not what man recommends. Okay, so again, Spirit of Jesus Christ in Spanish is El Espíritu de Jesucristo. So El Espíritu de Jesucristo.
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 Emphasis on the I. El Espíritu de Jesucristo.
El Espíritu de Jesucristo.
I'll practice that, but let's keep praying on that for the Spirit of God, Spirit of Jesus Christ to be within us as we learn together. Thank you and God bless you.